All right, take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 43, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and Psalm 100. This was to be my last Wednesday night in the Wednesday night children's time, and this was the lesson, basically, that I was going to be teaching them, and talk about gratitude. You know, we've just come past Thanksgiving. And the other day I was standing my post at work and a man walked by and he saw on my badge that I am Pastor Paul Madonna. There is another Paul that works with us, a Paul M. So I'm Pastor Paul. And we got to talking and got to be talking about Thanksgiving, and we began talking about gratitude and how that in our country, so few people have gratitude. They are not thankful for what they have. Folks, living in the United States of America is a privilege. And I am so glad that we are able to live here. But in a little bit, I'm going to ask you, what did Joseph have to be thankful for? But let's begin reading from Genesis chapter 43, verse 1. And we'll read the first 10 verses. And the famine was sore in the land. Aren't you glad you live in America where food is plentiful? Now, it may be expensive, but it's available. And the famine was sore. Verse 2, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt. Now this is Jacob and his sons and families. Their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, now the man, of course, was Joseph. Did they know it was Joseph? They didn't know. But the man, this is what he said, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Now, Simeon is down in Egypt, probably house arrest. And here we have someone that Joseph earnestly wants to see, his brother, not a half brother, but a full brother. And his name is Benjamin. Verse 4, if thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. Now, can you see the family in your mind's eye? All of them talking. Boy, supplies are small. We need something. Dad, what are we going to do? Go to Egypt. Dad, you know what he said. Go to Egypt. Dad, we have to take Benjamin. Verse 5. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. Now, do you see him there standing, talking? They're debating. Jacob is saying, no, you can't take Benjamin. Verse 6, and Israel said, now who is Israel? Jacob. Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? Isn't it amazing how we begin to try to argue when we don't want something to go a certain way? Why did you even tell him about Benjamin? Why? Verse 7. And they said, the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? Now, maybe they should have begun to put some things together. Why would this man be interested in their dad? Why would he be interested in if they had yet another brother? You know, it's not like they had any choice. They're wanting food, and this man was held the key to getting the food to them. Verse 7 continues, "And we told him according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel, his father." I find it interesting that it is Judah who's going to talk about the surety. Because isn't there someone that came out of Judah who is our certainty, who is our salvation, who is our Lord? Absolutely. "And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will rise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned the second time." See Judah pleading with his dad. "Please let us go. We need the food. And we have lingered so long and the food supply is so little. Please." Gratitude. If you look it up in the thesaurus, it means gratefulness. And folks, we need to be grateful for what the Lord has provided, both physically and spiritually. You remember me saying on any number of times that God has blessed America with gospel preaching churches. And that is so true. It means appreciation. We should appreciate what the Lord has done for us, for this nation. It means acknowledgement. It means letting others know what has been done on our behalf. Recognition. You know, every pastor realizes that he alone cannot build a church. He needs his people to help him. And recognition of that is important. You know, Brother Wutke was away this past weekend, and yet he said, "I'll come back and I'll count the money on Monday." You know, how many of you realize every week he takes the money and takes care of it? Counts it up, does all that. How much does he get paid? $1,000 a week? $100 a week? Just whatever he's going to get in heaven for his willingness. We appreciate you, Brother Wutke. Especially me, because if he didn't do it, I might have to. Yes. Recognition. We appreciate Cindy. Her desire is to make sure she's in church. Sunday, she says to me, "Who's going to pick me up Wednesday night? Because my rides are out of town." She's always an encouragement to me. She asks me how I'm doing, and if I don't answer correctly, she wants to probe and find out why I'm not doing all right. Yes, we recognize those who help. Gratitude means thankfulness. It was Thanksgiving Day. Following the meal and before the dessert, I said to those at our Thanksgiving table, I said, "Let's each talk about what we're thankful for." And you know, I gave them all the opportunity to be the first one, because isn't it easiest to be the first one? Yes. And so my wife quickly said, I'll do it. And she named off everything. Yeah, she was thankful for everything. But you know, it was interesting. One of the things she didn't say, but was said by one of the grandchildren, was that they were thankful for family. Oh, they made you stop. That's right, because you were going down the whole list. Yes. But thank you for family. You know, family's important, isn't it? You know, my dad had this saying that you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. Another said, living in the USA. They were thankful for that. And then yet another one said, living in Michigan. You know, I'm glad we live in Michigan. I think it's unique. You know, you can show everybody where you live just by holding up your hand. We have the Great Lakes all around us. The other day, Don and I were in Frankenmuth with Shayla, and I saw this girl coming towards me, and she had on a sweatshirt that talked about the Great Lakes unsalted. Yes. You know, it's a privilege. But what about Joseph? Could he be thankful that he lived in Egypt? That he had been sold into slavery? He was wrongly accused and sent to prison? That he had been forgotten? That there was a famine in the land? Keeping your place here in Genesis 43, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You have probably seen the flags at half-mast here in the state of Michigan. It was a governor's request that all flags be flown at half-mast in memory of what happened in Oxford 1 year ago today. And we think back to that day in which a person went to a high school and one armed person began shooting at unarmed people. Can the parents of the four children that died, young people died, be thankful? Boy, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I lost a $20 bill the other day. You know, it's been awful hard to be thankful about that. I guess my only thought, Bob, is maybe someone who really needed some money found it. Yes. It is still driving me crazy. It is. I keep saying, stupid, stupid, stupid. Now that I've told it, my wife was going to say, how did you lose that $20 bill? Yeah. But in everything, give thanks. Psalm 100, if you would, please. Psalm 100. It's one of my favorite psalms. It isn't my favorite, but it is one of my favorites. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I believe our Lord loves music. I believe that he enjoys music. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He has made us. We did not evolve. We are not here by a mistake. He made us for his pleasure, and we are to serve him with gladness. But it's verse 4 that we look at. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When we come to church, we should be thankful. And I still believe this, we should desire to be in the house of God. And then, of course, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Back to Genesis chapter 43, you remember the story. After Joseph spent a number of years in prison, being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, Pharaoh had a dream and desired his wise men to tell him the interpretation of it. And of course, they could not. Pharaoh's butler then remembers his prison time and a man that was able to interpret dreams, and he tells Pharaoh of Joseph. Now, if you remember, the butler forgot Joseph for 2 years. That's a long time if you're in prison. That's a long time thinking, well, maybe today the butler's going to say something to Pharaoh. Joseph is called and Pharaoh tells him of his dreams. The Lord shows Joseph the meaning of the dream. Simply put, that there are going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And I can only presume that during that 7 years of famine, everything grew and it was really good. Now, let's be honest. There are bananas, and then there are bananas, right? I mean, there are bananas that you really think, oh, these taste good, and there are other bananas you think, oh, I don't like it. The same with apples, or plums, or blueberries, or strawberries. My wife loves blueberries, and she'll say sometimes, these were really good blueberries. And I'm thinking they look just like the blueberries I got last week. And yet she says these blueberries were better than the blueberries of last week. Do you understand where I'm going with this? 7 years of the best blueberries ever. And then 7 years of famine. Joseph interprets the dream. He tells them what's going to come. Joseph is made second in command over all the land of Egypt with the task of storing food for the coming famine. Now, this would be no small task. They probably had to build storage areas. They would have to have in the storage areas good security to keep out rodents, mice, rats, thieves. Because once food becomes scarce, people will do things they never would have thought they would have done. And one of them is to steal. But the famine is not only in Egypt, but also in the surrounding lands, including where Jacob, aka Israel, and his family are living. And Jacob sends 10 of his sons to buy grain in Egypt. Now we know Jacob had 12 sons. How many daughters? One daughter. And he believes that Joseph is dead because 10 of his sons brought to him a bloody coat of many colors. And they didn't say anything other than, is this Joseph's coat? And of course he believes that he's been mauled by an animal and he's dead. And he sends 10 sons keeping Benjamin home. These men are brought before Joseph, who immediately recognizes them. Can you imagine your Joseph? He is probably shaved on his head. He is dressed like an Egyptian. He is speaking to them in Egyptian. And 10 men are brought into the room. Count them, 10 men. There they are. Asher and Dan and Issachar and Simeon and Reuben and Judah. How do you think he felt? The last time he saw these men, they were probably waving to him as they had sold him, what was it, for 20 pieces of silver? And he's probably asking, why? Why? What have I done? And here they are before him. His 10 brothers. I mean, he's second in command. He immediately could have had them executed. He immediately could have said, what in the world are you doing here? Leave. But he sends 9 of his brothers back home, keeping Simeon in Egypt, telling them that the next time they come seeking grain, they must bring Benjamin. But as we know, Jacob is reluctant to send Benjamin, fearing for his welfare, because his beloved son Joseph, he believes, is dead. Now, once again, the famine has made it necessary for another trip into Egypt to get grain. But Jacob says to his 9 sons, go, to which they remind him that they must take Benjamin. Jacob finally agrees to send his youngest son. Hunger will make you do things, like I said, that you wouldn't normally do. Let us once again, here in Genesis chapter 43, find about the meeting of the brothers. Genesis 43, verse 27. And he, Joseph, asked them of their welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Huh. What does this remind you of? A dream that Joseph had, that his 11 brothers would bow down before him. And through the years, Joseph, I'm sure, never forgot it when he was a servant in Potiphar's house and when he was in the prison, wondering, Lord, when are you going to make this come to fruition? And here it is, verse 27. And he asked them of their welfare, and he said, okay. Verse 29. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. Notice this, verse 30. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept there. Now we know that everybody has the same tendency to cry as other people. Some cry a little bit easier than others. I don't know how Joseph normally was, but this was a moving event in his life to see his brothers standing before him. Verse 31. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, let us set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. Joseph had them sitting in the right order, starting with Reuben over here, and then all the other brothers, and ending up with Benjamin. Verse 34. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of the others. And they drank and were merry with him. So they gave everybody a steak, except for Benjamin. He got five steaks. I mean, isn't that what it's saying? He had five times as much. Raviola. Boy, I'm hungry. You know, that used to be I wouldn't eat to after I preached, and it's the same tonight. So there's leftover pizza for me at home, and boy, I got 12 minutes. I'm going to move quickly because I don't like to preach in a full stomach. Yes. Let's go to chapter 45. We'll begin at verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all men that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Now earlier I asked, in your mind's eye, see Jacob and all his sons debating about the food issue. Now in your mind's eye, see Joseph, and he sends everyone out of the room except for 11 men. Verse 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. They hear Joseph crying, and yet he has sent everybody out of the room. Verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Joseph, I believe, has gone from speaking Egyptian to speaking Hebrew. Do you think that would immediately catch their attention, like, whoa, he knows everything we've been saying? I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. Yeah, I believe it. They were troubled at his presence. Can you see that? Can your mind's eye see them all looking at each other? Maybe even whispering, saying, uh-oh, Uh-oh, Reuben, you're in trouble. Verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother. Let's not forget this, whom ye sold into Egypt. Okay, I'm Joseph, but let's not forget what you did. Ye sold me into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. Don't be pointing fingers. Don't be saying, hey, you did it. I didn't want to do it, but you made us. Because he says, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Now let me ask you something. What did we read in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18? In everything, give thanks. God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Wow. There's a lot coming on, isn't there? Don't be angry with yourselves. I guarantee you there was fear and trepidation in these men. Maybe not so much with Benjamin. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. You know, Satan has tried to destroy the line of Judah and the people of Israel for centuries. Yet God has a plan, and that plan is going to work. Jesus Christ was born in Jerusalem, just as it had, not in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, just as it was proclaimed in the scriptures. There was a plan. Verse 8. So it is not you that sent me hither, but God. Joseph was thankful for the Lord's leading, though the way had been hard and difficult. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. And then it says still in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. When you leave, take my bones with you. Faith. It's important that we have faith. And I believe it's important that we are grateful for what the Lord has done for us. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you and to remain faithful to you until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.